Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, joined now on a Wednesday. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off today. Nate is in. Sal Capaccio now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Sal. We got a long time here still until a game. I feel like it's the off season again.
Yeah, for sure. Can I start with something for you first? Good morning,
sure.
To you.
Morning,
buddy. You went viral. I mean, holy cow!
I know.
You went viral.
I went viral. I did not expect in any way that was going to go viral.
It's usually how it goes, to be honest.
Yeah, the viral tweet of Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL in interceptions that have been called back by penalties. Yeah, a lot of people jumped on that.
I mean, Bill Barnwell wrote about your tweet yesterday.
I saw that.
Bill Barnwell wrote about you what you tweeted and like did a deep dive into it and like went all through like all of these different plays and what exactly happened and crazy, man.
Yeah, I liked what Bill wrote, by the way. Like he added context to the number was 17. Mahomes has thrown 17 picks in his career that were overturned, but I think he had, what was it, like 8 of them were offside plays. Which you can automatically
free play. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And then, so there were a few still, 9 or something that were real penalties, but that the rate wasn't like too different than a lot of other guys. So, yeah. Bengals fans were the ones I think that made it go viral.
But. Oh, okay. Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
they
were pretty upset.
People, though, did you get like completely hammered by Chiefs fans coming at you?
I'm the type of guy, Sal, where like when the notifications are just out of control and you can't even keep up anyway.
Yep.
Like I'll see one here and there, but yeah, like it was. You know why? Because my mentions was just Chief fans and Bengal fans yelling at each other, and just I can't do this. I don't have the bandwidth to take part in this right now with all of you. So yeah, and Barnwell, by the way, his summary at the end was, there's one guy, like Mahomes did have one of the higher rates of, like, I guess he does have a lot of picks called back. It's just not a crazy amount. The guy, though, that has more penalties call or interceptions called back because of penalties is actually Burrow. So that's kind of where that all fell into. So
do you actually have notifications turned on? Like when you get a tweet, how about you, Nate? When you guys get a tweet, someone tweets at you. Do you have like a notification on your phone that says that?
Nope.
Not on my phone. No. I would have to click notifications on
Same.
Twitter and then I would see them, but I don't get an alert every time. You know, I think you what do you do? Cuz can you set it up where like if you're following somebody they reply to you or they like something then you get it just from them? I think you can
do that. You could set it up where if you want, like people tell me they have like whenever I tweet something, there's a notification. Right?
I can
set it up for whenever Adam Schefter tweets something, I have a notification on my phone.
I have insiders. That's it.
Okay.
Like I probably have 10 insiders that I get those notifications for.
And then whenever you get anybody, anything, a like, a mention, you can have that. I know people, they will remain nameless here. I know people who I work with in the Bills media room, and it's fine because for their job, they feel that it's necessary. Totally cool.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm with people, my colleagues, and their phones are always getting these. I'm like, what is going on? and it's just simply people replying to their tweets or mentioning or liking, and I'm like, wow, never do that. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I would. That would be.
It would be all day.
That'd be too.
Now it's not like a noise on their phone, but they get the push notification just comes in, but it's always going, and I'm like, holy cow, I could never do that.
Listen, my notification center on my phone is already like, Nate, yes, look at the amount of notifications I have. Like, it's already out of control. Adding Twitter to it would just be chaos, I think.
Yes.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. So, all right, Sal, we're back into the week, and we mentioned earlier that Kevin Adams is talking today, but so is Sean McDermott, right, at noon? And then normal practice, like, will this be a normal week from here on, just with a little difference because it's a Monday game?
Yes. So they will practice today and tomorrow like a normal Wednesday and Thursday, essentially. I mean, I don't know the exact practice structure necessarily,
sure,
but it's a normal for us in the media. It is a normal Wednesday and Thursday with McDermott speaking at noon, practice at 12:30, and then Josh Allen and select players available, usually Terrell Bernard, but obviously if he's going to be injured, he won't be speaking today, but Von Miller usually does, whatever, on a Wednesday. Tomorrow, same thing. You know, we'll hear from, let me just look at, see if I have it right here. Tomorrow, like, we'll tell you exactly who we'll hear from. Nobody speaks to us before practice, but we have practice cover 12:30. The difference this week, guys, is two things. Number one, the Bills will not have anything on Friday, but they will practice their normal Friday practice on Saturday. Okay, because of Monday practice. So their last, like, kind of light practice, final injury report, that kind of thing. The other difference is there is no injury report until tomorrow because they don't play until Monday. So it's based on kind of when your game is. So the first injury report of the week actually will not come out until tomorrow, even though they're practicing today.
Okay, so let's start there with injuries heading into this week. You mentioned Terrell Bernard. And we had reports and found out about that it wasn't a tear, right? That's a sprain or a strain, at least at this point. And then Taron Johnson, those are top two, right? Is there anybody else that we should really be focused on this week?
Yeah, I think Dwan Smoot is the other one we should focus on. And just so everybody knows, it is, I know it's spelled like Dwayne, it is Dwan. You know, I checked in on that. Just, it is Dwan Smoot, and he is also playing possibly. If he makes his debut, it's against his former team. So you'd like to see that. You know, a lot of talk about Gabe Davis and Mitch Morris coming back to Buffalo to face their former teams. Dwan Smoot may be facing his former team. The fact the Bills did not put him on IR and he's missed two games means they were optimistic he'd be back before four games. Well, this is game number three. That would be the guy we're watching this week, I think, more than anything. Because more than the outside of the other two, I should say. I think Terrell Bernard, we're all going to be understanding that he's not going to play. What that looks like, IR, we don't know. That's the thing we're monitoring with Terrell Bernard. Does he go on IR? We don't know. We know Taron Johnson didn't go on IR, but is he ready to play? That's the other one. So those are the two guys. Mm-hmm. Terrell Bernard most likely out, I would say, this week. Taron Johnson, is he going to play? What's his week look like? And then does Dwan Smoot return and make his debut?
Terrell Bernard not playing, Sal. Baylen Specter would obviously be the guy to go in there.
He surprised me.
Yeah, he looked good against Miami. Where are you at with him, Sal, and his capability of filling in? Because he's played a little, but he's had injury problems. So, you know, like he could have been someone that, like, you wonder all the hypotheticals you could ask yourself. Like, what would be different in that Chief playoff game last year if Baylen Specter plays? Not to say he's, like, some superstar, but I feel like, right, like Nate said, every little chance we've had to see him, I feel like it's looked like it's been completely fine.
Let's remember the Bills felt good enough about him that he actually started the Pittsburgh playoff game after Bernard got hurt, you know, and couldn't play. And then he got hurt in that game early on trying to recover a fumble. The Bills felt very good about him. I would say the same thing, like, here from my perspective. I think the Bills feel very confident with him as a backup middle linebacker, except for the fact that he's missed time with injuries, and those have been kind of reoccurring throughout his career. If he can stay healthy, I think that they're confident in his ability. He is him and Dorian Williams, and this gets me to a bit of a concern I would have this week, actually, guys, which I'll talk about, but him and Dorian Williams are very similar to me, that they are more like a see ball, get ball type of linebacker, right? Like, they see something, they go, they attack. I think Bill Inspector started every game for any team and played 17 games. I think he'd be amongst the league leaders in tacklers. He is a tackling machine. He knows how to find the ball. He knows how to get there. He knows how to tackle. That is not an issue at all. And I think the Bills are very comfortable with him in that role. They're obviously comfortable with him lining up the defense, wearing the green dot. My concern is I don't think he's that great in coverage. And I also think he's now next to a guy who's not that great in coverage and Dorian Williams. And the Bills, to me, are going to have to figure out a way this week to make sure they do not get hurt from their linebackers covering, because I think Jacksonville will attack that. I think Jacksonville is going to look to say, look, we're going to go after that second level, especially if Taron Johnson's out. And we all know Cam Lewis can fill in, and you know, I think Cam's a really good player. Obviously, he's not Taron Johnson, but now you have your all three, including Matt Milano. Think of the difference between Bernard, Milano, and Taron Johnson versus Spector, Williams, and Cam Lewis when it comes to covering at the second level. And I just think that's an area where the Bills have to really be buttoned up this week. So as far as Spector is concerned, I like him as a player, as a backup, as a guy who's going to go and do everything you need to do, especially on first and second down. When it comes to third down, just have to make sure that you know you're doing some things where you can help him, or he is understanding in a role where you know he's not going to hurt you in coverage. But that's also, to me, Dorian Williams, and that's why I think this week is a week the Bills are going to have to try and make sure they're okay there, because the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, are going to attack that.
Sale, I want to ask you about the Bills' defensive backfield, and I want to maybe put Taron Johnson to the side. Obviously injured, I think, the first drive or very early in that first game. So we've seen a pretty decent sample size now. That let's hope the sample size doesn't grow. But if it does, I feel pretty confident about Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis. And I like when they go to dime that it doesn't really feel like they go from a team that, like last year when they went to dime, they put Jordan Poyer in that position. And he brought a level of physicality there because he was a little bit bigger, especially last year. But you felt like maybe in the past game, still because of his limitations, you know, athletically, that you could still potentially get burned in the past game. When they go dime right now with the lineup that they have and Ingram and how long he is at nickel and Cam, I don't feel like I guess this is a long way of saying how impressed I've been with Cam Lewis's physicality in the run game, that he reminds me a lot of Taron Johnson, where you bump him down, and if you want to run dime against NFL teams that want to try to throw the ball, especially near the line of scrimmage, they're athletic, they're long, but him and Ingram are both physical. I have just been maybe wowed, to the point of being wowed, how effective they've been when they've been on the field, considering they haven't had a lot of time on the field.
This goes back to the point I wrote about a couple days ago, which is, listen, the Bills have kind of the ultimate great situation here where they have continuity between a front office and a coach, especially on defense. Their head coach, the defensive coach, the defensive coordinator has been here 7 years with them, where these guys have developed into a system where they understand their roles that they've been kind of prepared for. And even so much of the fact that Jamarcus Ingram, while he's normally a boundary corner, that's his natural position, he's been in the system for 3 years now. He understands what his role is as a dime safety. And even, look guys, Taron Johnson said to us when we were talking to him back in...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The week of the Pittsburgh preseason game, Taron Johnson said it took him a good 3 years before he knew this defense. Think about that for a second. Taron Johnson said that. He's an all-pro. He said he thought he kind of knew everything. Like, it really took him 3 years where he learned everybody's roles, understand exactly what's going on. Now, when you have a guy like Jamarcus Ingram or Cam Lewis, who's been here 6 years now, and you're developing them, and if it's taking that long, well, if you're changing coaches and you're changing schemes every couple years,
right,
you have to start over again. But Brandon Bean, because he has continuity with his head coach, him and his front office, they can draft a guy or they can sign a guy like Jamarcus Ingram as a UDFA and say, we're going to play the long game here. We're going to develop this guy. And when it's time for him to play, he's going to be ready to play because he's been here. These things should not be surprises anymore to Bills fans when players come in and play, because they've been developed to play. They've been here for this many years, and they understand the system. They understand what's asked of them. Just because they're backup players, and they are, they're not the quality or the level of the starter, doesn't mean they can't play and be effective in the NFL in a scheme that they're very familiar with. I am also very impressed. You guys know what I feel about Cam Lewis. I've talked about him for years. You know what I feel about Jamarcus Ingram. I've been pounding the drum for Jamarcus Ingram for 2 years. I've been saying, as you guys know, Joe has heard me say it for 2 years. This guy is long. He can play corner. And what did I always say, Joe? He has flexibility to play safety. I'm just stunned that he was able to step right in to play that role immediately and be effective as he has been. That's not his normal role. And what I wonder is, with Cole Bishop now developing and getting to a point where he can play, and Mike Edwards now healthy where he can play, I mean, it's a good, quote-unquote, problem to have. But how do they work all of that if they want to, you know, think about those guys being on the field in those roles?
That was actually the next thing I wanted to get to with you a little bit while we're on the kind of the secondary is Bishop. Bishop was on the field for a couple of plays at the end on Thursday when the game was out of hand. He did have one pass breakup in the end zone. I think he had a tackle, too. And right, like you said, Edwards is healthy. Hamlin, though, Sal, like, I don't know. There haven't been like a big play. There hasn't been like a glaring, oh man, you see Hamlin on that one. They got behind him. Like that hasn't happened yet. So I think that's going well through two games, him being in there. And I do wonder, like, I don't know, like, will they want to see more from Bishop or Edwards at some point? How does that look? Or will they just say, you know, as long as Hamlin's in there and it's going well, we're just not going to touch it?
Yeah, I wonder the same thing. I wonder the same thing, and I think we've all seen now, and it's still, right, Joe? I mean, when people see DeMar out there, Bills fans, there's still a bit of, okay, like, there's trepidation, right? Like, okay, it's gone good for two games, but at some point, aren't a lot of Bills fans just waiting to tell you, oh, my God, see, that's why I don't want him back there, right? I mean, doesn't it feel like that? Mm-hmm. And it's because, why? He's not, DeMar Hamlin is not the kind of player that's going to be making plays on the ball. I mean, that's just not what he does. He can get there. He can make a play on the ball, but that's not his game. He's not Micah Hyde. He's not making the play Micah Hyde made against the Patriots, you know, in the playoffs. That's not his game. When Jordan Poyer was doing his thing, you know, a few years into his Bills career, and the way he would be making plays on ball, he's physical, DeMar Hamlin is, and he understands the defense, and he keeps things in front of him. And again, I'll go back to, why did the Bills start DeMar Hamlin and feel comfortable about it? Because they feel very comfortable about him knowing this defense and understanding it after 4 years and the concepts of it and the communication of it that goes along with everybody in concert. Do not underestimate how big that is in a league now where we all see it, we all talk about it, you guys have talked about it, in a league where it's really vitally important now to keep everything in front of you because that's what everybody's doing. That's actually DeMar Hamlin's strength. Like, DeMar Hamlin's strength is, I'm just going to make sure I'm doing my job and keeping everything in front of me. And, you know, if you want to beat me deep, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to put myself in position to not let that happen. He's not going to take risks. He's going to just make sure that that's, to me, actually the way this league is going is fitting into exactly what DeMar Hamlin does as a safety to allow the Bills to put him back there.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Bills and Jaguars on Monday Night Football at 7:30, because that's going to be a Monday Night doubleheader. I think Bengals Commanders is the other one that'll be a little bit later on in the day. So, Sal, that matchup, and also turning to their offense a little bit, like, they haven't really needed, I think, they haven't really needed their passing offense a lot. They needed it for, what, a quarter to get back into it with the Cardinals in week one. But otherwise, like, Allen's got pedestrian numbers, but not by efficiency. Like, efficiency-wise, he's top of the league. That, though, continues to be a league-wide trend. I wonder, I saw this take yesterday that I wonder what you think of it, because we have talked about the league trend on this front already, that this could just be early in the season, teams don't play in the preseason, their starters nearly as much, and that, yeah, passing is really down right now, but you're probably going to see it rise as we go through the year. And the Bills would be an example of that, right? Like, the game script in week two, they didn't have to throw the ball. Allen is not going to throw for, you know, 150 yards in a game, probably many more times this season.
Are you confident that it's going to change in the league? You say that pretty confidently. I don't know if I am.
I would think it's going to go up. I probably would not go all the way to, I'm trying to remember who I heard it from. The person I heard giving the take was, it'll go right back to the way it was. I think it'll go up. But I would stop short of saying it's going to go right back to where we were, you know,
Sal,
3 years ago.
And to this point, I mentioned this morning. I think this is, the trend across the league to me isn't necessarily that everyone just decided that they're going to start running the ball because of two high safeties now. I think that schematically that the Chiefs sort of have broken people. Like, every offense is now trying to be yards after catch. They want to throw at the line of scrimmage, get the ball out quick, and let guys run. Like, if you go to the last 2 weeks, you go to Next Gen Stats and go look at the charts of all of the best quarterbacks in the league, they all look the same. Every single one of them looks the same.
These dump downs, right?
Yes.
These 10 and short yard passes.
Bruce Arians is rolling in his proverbial grave. Like, there is downfield offenses anymore.
Listen, guys, this is back in March, okay? Back in March, NFL owners meetings. We're sitting around at the AFC coaches breakfast. Sean McDermott's sitting at the table. And he said, I'm sitting right next to him. And he said, two high safeties have changed this league. And you're going to have to find ways to get the ball to guys to get it down the field other than just throwing it over the top of them. And he said, there's other ways to get the ball down the field, get it. And then he stood up at the combine and said, there's other ways to get the ball down the field. You don't have to just throw it through the air. You can actually throw it to somebody, have them run with it. Like, said, literally, that was the phrasing, something like that. And Brandon Bean backed it up. They mentioned rack and yak several times. Then here comes Sean at the owners' meetings. He says it. And I went over to Sean McVay. I asked him about it. Echoed the exact same sentiment. Just said, yep, absolutely. It's just changed. You have to figure out ways to do it. I go to Andy Reid. Same thing. Brian Daboll. Same thing. I went to some of these best offensive minds in the game while I was at the owners' meetings and asked them this specific thing what we're talking about. And every one of them said the same thing, which is, yeah, you're not getting things down the field that much. You better figure out a different way. Like, everybody's doing this now. And this is what we're seeing. This has been a plan, guys. This is not fans should not think that teams just woke up and in week one said, well, guess what they're doing? We better figure out. No, this has been a plan and a trend for those teams that have been forthright enough to think about it and see it happening for about a year now and even longer. And they have really kind of morphed what they're doing. And the Bills are a team that very much thought about this. And here's the biggest stat that tells me this. I know it's 2 weeks. I get that things are going to change, as we just said. Do you guys know where Josh Allen ranks in yards after catch from his receivers right now?
Ooh, I do not. I know they're always near the bottom.
Out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know they're always near the bottom. So it's got to be higher. It's got to be middle of the pack, maybe, would be my guess.
Seventh.
Okay. top 10.
Normally, Josh Allen is in the bottom third of yards after catch from his receivers. I can't remember a year where he was not that low. He's always low. That's just not his game. He throws the ball longer.
Yeah.
He throws the ball. His air yards are always farther. He throws the ball where a guy catches it and doesn't have a lot of space to get out. You know, he throws tight windows along the sidelines, whatever it is. Seventh. I know it's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't expect that to change much. I think this is the model the Bills have built. This is what they want. And now we're seeing it come to fruition.
Yeah, that's a good stat. Lastly, Sal, to get to before we run out of time with you, Tom Pelissero yesterday and the Bills working out kickers, Anders Carlson, Cade York. I guess just what do you think it means, if anything?
Well, there's two things. Number one is a generality, which is this is not uncommon to see player positions being worked out all year. Teams will bring different positions in all year because they get a baseline knowledge of a player in case there is an emergency to go sign somebody. Could be a quarterback, could be linebacker, could be a kicker. And you say, okay, we just, as every week, they're going to bring in different guys because let's say in week 5, week 10, week 15, your guy gets hurt. You're like, hey, remember we worked that guy out? We got his number. We saw him. Let's call him. Like, it's easy to do. However, the fact that Tyler Bass has had his struggles and two kickers have been brought in, I do not think is a coincidence. It also could be a little kind of on notice thing. Not necessarily moving on from him right now. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, though, they're preparing themselves, and also, hey, you know, it's a subtle nudge, I guess, in a way, to Tyler Bass, who would obviously see that happening.
Yeah. Like, hey, make sure you're getting it together here. He had that miss on Thursday. Mm-hmm. But that's it for the season so far. So, all right, Anders Carlson, Cade York, who Cade York had a bad week one. Like, speaking of, like, kickers that got cut, he was on a team, right? He didn't even get traded in the preseason.
He was traded, and when he was traded, it's so funny as him because about a month ago when he was traded, someone said to me, why didn't the Bills do this? And I go, he actually has a 75% field goal rate in his career. Tyler Bass is way above that. Yeah. Why would you want to trade an asset for a guy who's a worse kicker?
Right. And then he lasted 1 week with his new team.
Yes, exactly.
Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal. We'll talk later this week.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
When we come back, we will talk with Joe Marino from Locked On Bills, his weekly Wednesday visit. We'll look back a little bit on what the Bills did against the Dolphins so well, and then previewing the upcoming matchup against the Jaguars. So stay tuned. Joe Marino on the way next. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.